All right.
Pony.
All right.
How you doing, brother?
That was wild.
Oh, well, yeah, the we had to start all over again, so.
That's fine. Hold on, let me.
Well, this is episode 2. I'm Barn Door, and that's Pony. And we're trying to get the second episode going. We've had, just like anything else, we've had some bumps in the road. We were able to get the first episode just posted. And I've been giving Pony a hard time about saying, you know, a whole lot. And trying to keep the background noise to a minimum. But we're going to always improve in all ways. So if we just get a little bit better every single time we do this, by the time, next month rolls around, we'll be damn near professionals.
Pros, for real.
Pros. No,
I don't know what happened that last time, but I'm going to take that as an L for me. But I think I'm in the position where nothing should happen. I'm not even going to touch my phone, so.
All right, on. That's my plan, too. When in doubt, don't touch the phone.
Hell yeah, brother.
Have you been to see Endgame yet?
No. Tell me about it.
Are you going to go see it?
I don't know. It's kind of hard with a baby or with a toddler.
And he bit you today, huh?
Oh, God. I've got the photo to prove it. He bit me. I still have the mark. Yeah. He bit me harder than my raccoons ever bit me. Just walked
you
up to me.
You still have your raccoon?
Oh, absolutely. Ellie's with my parents. She's going to be going in her outdoor enclosure once the weather gets nice. Nature's beautiful, man. All you got to do is love nature. That's just something I got to live by.
You can't go wrong loving nature.
No, man, absolutely not. We've raised that thing up since it was it still had its eyes closed. And it's the most loving thing and hangs out with my other dogs. They think of her as like a pack in the pack. So, yeah, there's no inconvenience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. That's my goal.
Imagine raccoons eat just about anything, right?
Oh, they're trash pandas. Yeah, she likes dog food. I think that's a delicacy for her. But she also eats dehydrated fruit. And dog food, dehydrated fruits, and that's about it.
Who was the? You said you wanted to bring somebody on to the next episode. Who was it?
Yeah, I don't have his name in front of me, but what he is, I found this out probably about a month ago. We have the world's leading kratom researcher. Since kratom is such a hot topic, this doctor that attends. I think it's Midwestern University over here in Illinois. He's the number, he's the leading researcher and doctor in kratom research. He's the one performing test trials. He's the one that's written all these articles and testimonies. I have his emails, his tests, like what he's done so far, his articles, his publications. I'll send them to you. Really nice guy. You know, I want to hear it. This is actually a crazy story. He knew one of our friends' dads, Gary. He knew Mr. Lambert, Gary Lambert. He played against him in rugby.
That's kind of a small world, huh?
Yeah, so he knew about our university, and I was like, this is crazy. He's like, I wouldn't have answered your email if it wasn't for the fact that you played rugby and you played at Life. I was like, oh, great.
Well, what I know about kratom is that it's like ground-up evergreen trees that come from the tropics, and it's related to coffee somehow.
Mm-hmm. It's a cousin to coffee.
What's that?
It is a cousin to coffee, absolutely. And I'm actually, I use it. So that's what the other thing I wanted to learn about it. Everything. I use it for energy. Me being a rugby player, I have bad knees, shoulders, and my neck. So on top of everything I do, I like to take this instead of coffee. So in the morning, like, this is what gets me going, gets me energized. And then around 3 to 5, if I still have work to do, yeah, I'll take a couple more. Really, dude, it's in the doses that I take, it's like a very nice stimulant. It keeps you focused on what you've got to do. I like it. Now, they use it for hundreds of things, though. I mean, people are reported to be taking it for anxiety, depression. One of the biggest ones is, two things. It's alcohol addiction and opiate addiction, because it binds onto the same receptors as those other chemicals.
Right, but that's also one of the dangers. It can be really helpful for treating opioid withdrawal, but if you actually use opioids and kratom at the same time, a smaller dose of an opioid can kill you.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, because they both bind to the receptors in the respiratory section of the brain, and they decrease the breathing. So then you wind up, you just basically suffocate. You just forget to breathe.
Yeah, no, that's what the reports have been already from the FDA and a couple other governmental agencies, that they've reported that people that have died, that they have reported an overdose. When kratom was involved, it was other drugs.
Right, it was the other drug, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, the combination. I'm not, you know, that in tune with it. But yeah, man, if you're that type of dude, if you're going to stack something and you're going to try to get as high as you can, you might as well, I don't know, be fucking safe, dude. You got to treat everything like what you do as a medicine.
Well, I thought they made it illegal.
You know, they were going to make this illegal, man. They have it illegal in a couple states, Wisconsin, I believe. There's a couple counties, too, that have it illegal. But they were going to make this illegal, and then a petition came by within a week of over, like, 100,000 people that were saying, hey, this helps me. Like, this is great. You know, the majority of these people were talking about how they were on, like, alcohol maintenance, opioid maintenance drugs like methadone or suboxone. And I guess if you weigh the two, I haven't done the research on it, but people have said that this has helped them instead of those other maintenance drugs. The alcohol withdrawals, this helps other than, like, I guess when you have an alcohol issue and you're, you know, detoxing or whatever, you can die. So this actually helps with that instead of taking like benzo, diazepine, or whatever that's called. They give people a bunch of benzo. So I guess the idea with kratom is this mindset is like, you know, if there is an issue and you've addressed the issue, don't try to maintain yourself on another narcotic. You know, this is just a plant. This is not like a synthesized compound. Just like what you said, it's a ground up leaf. They determine the strand by the veins in it. And you know, the only thing that got me weary on it is the fact that it's not regulated. And there have been reports of, you know, I saw it. I've done a lot of research with kratom, and you know, some people, like, they'll when they try to advertise it, they'll tell you it's in an FDA approved lab. That's because sometimes with these, just like any other supplement, you don't know what you're getting in it. So yeah, you've got to be safe with it. But it's just something that's so powerful right now. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. It's making a lot of noise. And I figured, hey, why not, you know, learn more about this? Is this really, you know, is this as dangerous as the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies are saying? Or is there another turnaround in this where maybe it's cutting into profits? And then I looked into this, and I saw that it was illegal in Indonesia and Southeast Asia. You do your research and you find out it was because it was cutting into their opiate tax.
Right. Well, so that's the thing. So if opioids are dangerous, and this has a similar effect to opioids, and it uses the same receptors as opioids, well, then you would think, well, it has to have some kind of negative consequence because of how similar it is to opioids.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The research that we found, or that I have found, and that people have reported on the testimonials, is that there's like, I guess the big thing that determines that it would be like a half-life, this doesn't really have a half-life. But then again, and I have to use, you know, my non-biased opinion on this, is, I mean, I'm assuming this is just like anything else, man. If you're taking a ton of it, there's gonna be some adverse effect. Absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Have you heard about this 4x100?
No, tell me about it.
So it's, you take kratom and then you mix it with cough syrup, Coca-Cola, and ice, and creates like a drink that gets you all kinds of fucked up.
Oh, no, I have not heard about that, but
apparently it was a real serious problem, and that's what they're claiming led to the problems in Thailand. That became really popular in Thailand in 2011 and 2012. Malaysia and southern Thailand wind up making it illegal.
Is that like their version of lean over there?
I was gonna say, I couldn't even think of what that was called, but yeah, I guess that's what it is. Is that's that cough syrup that they wrap about and all the
Yeah, that was like the big thing in Atlanta, dude. When we were out there, people were mixing. I don't even know what it was. It's just like people would rap about it. They'd use like Jolly Ranchers and Meltdown and mix it, I think, with some cough syrup. So I never tried it. So I wouldn't know.
And like cough syrup and Kool-Aid or some nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah. It's dude, but that's another thing. I mean, if you're in the mindset of taking a mind-altering drug, you're gonna do it. No matter what it is, you're gonna do it. And if you're a dummy and you want to do dumb shit, you're gonna do dumb shit. So, and that, I mean, that goes into the other like aspect of this is like it shouldn't, And this is, I'm a huge proponent in this. Things shouldn't be illegal just because there's dumbasses out there that are just being dumb, you know.
Well, and then making something illegal is not gonna stop a dumbass from being a dumbass.
That too. I mean, seriously.
What same do you think? Like that Carfax. You know, like Carfax is pretty much a joke. Like there's nothing, there's no efficiency at all. It's not effective at all because it's not going to stop an asshole from being an asshole. If somebody wants to screw you on a used car, Carfax isn't going to stop them from doing that.
No,
just like making something illegal is not going to stop anybody from doing anything.
When has it ever? I mean, what the hell was the alcohol prohibition? Come on, let's be real here. What the hell are we doing? Like, this war on drugs. Let's be real. How much money have we wasted on the war of drugs? And where's the progress? What's going on?
Oh, man, I tried to do a... I'll see if I can pull it up here. But I did a little bit of a research on the war on drugs. And it's insane how much money we spend on not just putting people in jail... But then once they're actually in jail, how much we spend on keeping them in jail.
I've heard them. Like it's up to us in some certain penitentiaries, because we do have private prisons. It costs the state or the taxpayer up to $70,000 to keep a inmate up to. And that's a high one, but usually it's around 30 to 40.
Right.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. It's a joke.
Yeah, right. But we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars to lock up nonviolent offenders for crimes in which there is no victim.
And the thing is, to be honest, you're on the low end. I think you're on the low end. I think it's like it's upwards of like tens of billions now. Because you got to think about it. We're in America. We have the most. We have the highest incarceration rate. If you could combine 2, 3, and 4 countries, 2, 3, and 4. That's the other scary part.
That's just unbelievable. It just doesn't seem. Yeah, we have by far the most incarcerated population. Just as an example, I have the numbers up here. Per 100,000 people in the United States, 666 are incarcerated. Russia is the next closest with 430.
You said 666.
Right.
Shit.
We're only 5% of the world's population, but we account for 25% of the incarcerated population.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And the one thing that's actually, stems off of from what I do, as far as working with a manufacturer, what I've come to find out is since we've been competing with China so much, and I'm not going to deviate. We're going to go back to the incarceration stuff, but since we have such a high incarceration rate, they're utilizing that and they're exploiting that for cheap labor just to keep up with China.
In the United States?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
people
it makes sense.
Manufacturing things other than license plates now. It's other things. It's crazy.
Well, every summer you'll hear about the prisoners. I mean, we have a lot of forest fires over here. Like, so every summer we get the dry season. There's going to be a bunch of forest fires. Like last year, that's when Paradise went up in flames. The whole city was destroyed. Most of California was on fire. But believe it or not, a lot of people fighting those fires are prisoners. For like $3 a day, they're out there fighting fires.
I wonder why you don't hear about any of them just trying to run away.
Well, where are you going to run to? Into a forest fire? They're out in the middle of the woods, Like, there's
shit, I'd take my chance. I'd take my chance.
But I got the website up here with the war on drug statistics because this is an important issue. You got 85% of arrests were for drug possession. That's crazy, right?
It's absolutely crazy.
Most of the work that the police are doing are chasing people with drugs. But meanwhile, most of the crime that's actually committed is property crime. But oftentimes, there's nothing that is done about it. Nobody's ever arrested. Nobody's ever gets restitution. It's very rare that a property crime goes punished or the victim is compensated in any way. There's 500,000 people right now incarcerated for drug law violations in the United States.
It just gets so, this topic can get so deep because I get sick to my stomach hearing that. And like, I get so sick to my stomach when, yeah, there's people, you know, that are getting charged with possession, but where are the assholes at that made the drug and didn't, I'm just going to use the one example of the, OxyContin family that made billions of dollars, and they openly said it. They openly said that they knew their drug was addictive, but they weren't highly addictive. They knew it was highly addictive, but they weren't, you know, when they were pushing this on doctors, they were telling the doctors that it's fine. It's not as bad. It's just, it's much better than the other stuff. And then they go around and say, and this is all public. This is all in, you know, this is in a public domain. Then they go around and say, well, they're going to turn around and make something to help with the opioid addiction. If it wasn't for Joe Rogan's podcast, I wouldn't have known any of that shit. But then you open your mind to like, what's going on? Oh, this war in Afghanistan. Oh my God. Right after the war in Afghanistan, look at what's going on.
Yeah, the thing, I don't want to get too much into a conspiracy
thing. No, dude, I don't either.
Facts here. The fact is, Afghanistan produces more opium than anywhere else in the country. It's their natural resource. That's what they don't have oil. There ain't no oil in Afghanistan. They got opium.
Not in the mountainous territory. No, they have opium.
That's what they got. That's what they do. Yeah. And guess what they make? That's what they make opioids out of, is opium. Yeah.
And then the one thing to go into that, like, we can get steer back into Kratom. There was a time period in China where they called it the 100 years where China was asleep.
The opium wars.
Yeah, well, Kratom was used to kind of stimulate the economy again by getting those dependent people on something else to get their economy back, because, you know, everyone was sick. Everybody was using, and there was no work being done. It was just a sick mindset of, okay, well, I have this, I have to keep getting this. So production wasn't going. It was the worst time ever for China. So yeah, Kratom did that too. There's a lot of research with it. I want to get to know it a lot more. And I think that's why I want to get that guy on. I want to hear his perspective on it. I want to hear a lot about his clinical trials that he's doing in Malaysia, his human trials, his animal trials, he did trials with mice. It's just an interesting concept because you hear on the news, oh, this is the devil. This is the devil. And I've been taught to believe that I shouldn't listen to everything I hear. I should do my own research.
So, oh, you have to, especially in this day and age, you got to do your own research or else, you know, and we're in the information age. And really, if you don't do your own research now, I mean, you're really making an intentional decision to remain ignorant
and be a sheep,
right? And just take other people's words for it. But the Kratom, I mean, from what I was able to reach here, I mean, there may be some people that the entire world, maybe a couple hundred people have died from using Kratom, but tens of thousands of people, I think something like 80,000 people died from opium or from opioids in the United States last year. There's more people that died from prescription opioid use than all illicit drugs combined. So if Kratom is going to be able to help people deal with those symptoms and those side effects and to be able to curb their opioid addiction, then this needs to be something that is embraced, not something that's made illegal. And it's hard not to get the conspiracy bug when there's companies that are making billions of dollars selling opioids, but then somebody wants to sell up some ground up leaves that help people get off opioids, and all of a sudden we got to make it illegal. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, we just got to turn it off.
Yeah.
I can't afford my yacht payment. Let's turn this off.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy. No, it's interesting, man. It's just something interesting to shed light on, because I've seen Joe Rogan and I've seen other people talk to this, and the I want to utilize this huge resource of having this doctor who's 45 minutes away from me. I'd like to talk to him and get him on. He is a busy man, of course, but I am very confident that I can get him on. And just, you know, he feels the same way. He's very passionate. He wants to tell everybody else about it. He wants to clear the, you know, he wants to clear this up as much as anybody else.
Right on. Well, that sounds awesome.
For a first guest, I think, why the hell not? It's such a controversial thing. It's popping. Why not? Let's see what he's got. Let's pick his brain.
Yeah, no, it sounds wonderful. I'm excited. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously you're kind of in charge, so of this. So yeah, by all means, do whatever you can, and let me know if there's anything I can do to help make it happen. But yeah, let's get him on.
Doctor yourself, as a doctor yourself. Yeah, no, as a doctor yourself, it would be great because you know the physiology of the brain, you know, the physiology of the body. I mean, you know this stuff in and out. Me, really, I'm nowhere in that knowledge level. So it'd be good to hear your perspective on it too. And then, you know, we bring it into, you know, the questions that were, you know, that we've, of the negative things that we've heard. You know, it's killing people. It's super bad. You know, all the things that everyone, you know, that the news and the media are saying to dismiss this. I'd like to, you know, not only hear what he has to say, but I'd like to get an educate, you know, someone, an intelligent person to question, you know, why he's doing this.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. Yeah, no, I'm excited. I think it'll be a great opportunity to learn more about it. Because honestly, I mean, I know about Kratom. I've seen the signs and I've seen some things. I've heard some podcasts, but I'm not, I stay really far away from any kind of synthetic drug. So I have had no desire, and even a coffee, like that's kind of a stimulant that I got caffeine intoxication when I was in school, just from trying to stay up all night and cram and study and then wake up early to take the test and drink coffee and study. So I just got super sensitive to caffeine. So I kind of try to avoid that stuff as much as possible. And I've just been so busy that it hasn't been on my radar. So I'll give it a little bit of research. I'll look into it a little bit, and I'll look forward to talking to this guy and seeing what he can come up with. Getting educated a little bit on this, because you know the opioid crisis is a real serious issue, and
we've got
a presidential election coming up. We've got the war on drugs. These are some real serious topics that people need to learn about, and you can make a meaningful impact by sharing some information, because you never know, like, you know, how far reaching something that you do or say can be. You change one person's mind. There's nothing more powerful than changing a mind. And if you can change one person's mind, then that can have a tremendous impact on the entire world. So, but you just never know who that is or what that thought is or what will inspire an individual to take action. But just like LEDs are a great market to get into. I don't know, maybe ground up trees from the tropics are a good thing to get into. There's certainly plenty of people around here selling it.
Yeah, no, dude, that's exactly what's going on right now. And the problem is everyone that's buying it is saying that it's helping them. So, you know, it'll be interesting. It will be very interesting. And I've thought about that venture myself, too. I would love to be one of the first people to try to regulate something that people are saying is very beneficial. That's what it needs. I don't care about anything else, about the legalities of it. I do believe, though, that something, anything, when, you know, anything involved with human consumption does need to be overseen with regulation.
And what about drugs?
Well, hey, man, like I said, honestly, if someone wants to, you know, take a bunch of whatever, or smoke a bunch of weed, that's their prerogative. I mean, I'm not the one. Who the hell am I to say no? I think the fear is, though, I think the big fear is that, you know, government officials and everyone think that the, you know, they're looking at the extreme side and saying, oh, society is just going to do nothing like this. He's, you know, it's, that's just my baseline opinion. I think that,
well, you know about Peru, right?
What do I need to know?
They legalized all drugs, and instead of making it a crime, such as there's no war on drugs, they treat addiction and they treat drug use as a disease, and they provide health care rather than incarceration.
So yeah, you know, Portugal does that too.
Or maybe it was Portugal. Maybe it's not Peru. Maybe it's Portugal.
Portugal, and then the Norse countries like Norway and Sweden, they're doing the very same thing. They actually did a very, you know, I'll pull up the study right here. I've got it since we've been talking about it. They the Norse countries, they had noticed a drop off in professional, like their economy as far as professionals. I'm talking about lawyers, I'm talking about businessmen, doctors. They've established centers where these people, and this is crazy. If someone's hearing this for the first time, this is absolutely crazy. They have a place where these people can go use. They have a medically regulated area where they don't have to buy a street drug. They can go use. And the statistics show whatever the drug was, their economy went back to, you know, where it was.
Yeah.
It was regulated. And it's crazy.
Yeah, well, we actually, I mean, we don't have a lot of pharmacology training or toxicology training in chiropractic school, but like we did learn some things, and like the way they make batches of heroin on the street is essentially by mixing these chemicals together and then giving it to people, and then if they die, well, it's too strong, let's dose it down a little bit. So, I mean, it's not an exact, you know what I mean? Like, they're not in a lab, they're doing it in the, you know, in a dirty environment, so it's getting contamination, all these other things. So it's be far healthier to give people an actual quality product that is regulated, so that you know what kind of dosage you're getting. You know, you're not going to get a hot dose and just drop dead, you know. And you can help them, and you can offer them guidance, and you can offer them counseling, and you can offer them health care, and treating it as a disease more so than treating it as a crime. Because, I mean, it has to be obvious by now, after all these years for the war on drugs, all this billions of dollars that have been spent, and all these people that have spent their lives in jail, it's not working. There's still loads of people that are on drugs. There's still loads of, and it's still illegal drugs. It's not clean drugs. It's dirty drugs. They're sharing needles, which spreads disease, which puts a burden on our healthcare system. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. With incarceration and, you know, just it just keeps going. And
it creates an endless cycle of what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And we've already legalized marijuana in some states, and I'm lucky enough to be in one of those states that has legalized.
Look at what it's done to Colorado. Look what it's done to Colorado's infrastructure.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Do you see a bunch of potheads? Do you see, like, Colorado covered in smoke? No.
No. I don't think there's any more people smoking weed today than there was before it was legalized. It's just they're doing it legally now. That's all. That's the only difference. Because we can eat it now. Like, we have friends that are in illegal states. They don't have any problem finding drugs. They don't have any problem finding weed. Weed is still there. It's just like the prohibition. People still drank alcohol during prohibition. Right now, we're in marijuana prohibition in some states. But those people don't have any problem finding marijuana. If they want marijuana, they're going to find it. Same thing with heroin and opium and all these other things. If you want it, somebody will sell it to you. But we're in a situation now where it's very dangerous and it's a crime. So just changing the perspective, just looking at it differently, could have a tremendous impact. But hopefully those are some of the things that will be discussed in the upcoming presidential election.
Hope, you know, and I can't answer what you're about to ask me. I don't think I have a choice. And I've always felt that in elections, there's a couple puppets, but above them, so someone holding the strings. Money rules it. And, you know, like you were just saying, I don't want to get into a conspiracy talk about it, but how many times, and I mean, just as a kid, how many times have you seen your parents get all excited about something, and then, you know, that election goes on and nothing changed. Nothing changed. We're still in war. We're still, we're still in other countries. We're still doing the same shit we were doing back when our parents were our age. So,
yeah, I mean, like in our lifetime, I mean, we started this, war on terrorism right after 9/11, and we're still fighting those wars.
Yeah, we're still in there. Now that this, this could actually bring up into an awesome topic. Have you heard about Q?
The letter?
The forums.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, well, you're going to have to, this is something that's going to go on to the next episode. There's a guy, people are thinking he's a higher up in the government. Like, he's always talking about the deep state. Talking about what was really going on in Syria, what had happened, and like, it's almost Julian Assange like, because there's articles, there's emails, there's things going on that connect with what the media were trying to steer away from. he's the one posting about it. He's on Twitter, I believe. They don't know if it's one person. It's wild. You've got to look up Q.
Just the letter?
Try that. But Sam Tripoli talks about him very much. There's a guy, Dr. something that talks about him all the time. It's when we start going into elections and we start talking about, agendas, especially with what's been going on with Trump the last couple of years, where they've been trying to indict him on charges with Russia and all these other things going on. I got into it because it came to a point where every time I saw a big event coming on and all the news articles would really talk about it, in the back of my head, I'd always be like, man, what really is going on? And this feel like, this kind of filled some voids. And if it's something that you have not talked, like have not looked into, I don't want to talk about it any further, because once you see it, your tone and voice for next podcast is going to be completely different.
All right, well, I'll have to check it out. You have to send me a link. I mean, there's a Q magazine. I don't think that's what you're talking about. But then Google, no. I think they're
Google next. Q-U-E. Q-U-E. Q-Anon. Q-Anon. Q-U-E-A-N-O-N. I think it's / Q, to be honest, because he would post on 4chan and Reddit forum. Yeah. Yeah. So that's your homework, dude. Anybody and everybody that has not heard about it will get woke. You will get woke, and it'll put some perspective on why everything has been the way it's been. And the beautiful thing about it is it sheds light on everything, and it makes you, it's not like your typical we are doomed, the end is near type shit. It's nothing like that at all, because it sheds light on things and it actually looks like things are going to get better. At the end of the day, that's the best thing. But you've got to have accountability, honesty and accountability. And when you see what's really going on with Trump, and like I said earlier, I don't vote. So I'm not like this Trump guy, I'm not like this Hillary guy. I mean, hell no, I don't think anybody is, but I'm in the middle here. So when you see all this and you see people like Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, yeah, you might think, you could believe the media and say, oh yeah, they're treasonous, but dude, these people were working for high levels of government, and they see what's going on, and they're like, no, dude, people need to know about this. This is the truth.
Yeah.
It's deep, It's deep shit, but,
Speaking of deep shit, you want to hear something cool?
Always do, bro.
So, we got, this global warming thing going on, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it just keeps getting worse. Like, every time they talk about some science, some study comes out, it's like, this is going on. But do you know what they just discovered about the Earth? I think it was released yesterday. It was the first time I read about it. The ocean that all the melting water is supposed to go into, the ocean itself, it's getting smaller. So there's not going to be as much room for the water to go as they had thought, because there was an earthquake in 1969. There was this massive earthquake in the ocean. Come to find out, what had happened is that one of the tectonic plates started going underneath one of the other ones. So it's a zone of subduction or something like that.
That's
so that, like, Europe is moving, instead of the Atlantic getting bigger, which it had for a long time, it's now getting smaller, and Europe is moving towards Canada. So instead of them moving further apart, they're now getting closer together. I mean, it's very slow, just like climate change. It's not like it's going to be there next week or anything. It's going to take thousands of years. But
no, that's interesting.
The ocean itself is getting smaller.
Doesn't that make you think? Well, really think about that though. Doesn't that kind of in the back of your head kind of think like maybe our planet is alive? Maybe it's responding to a threat. Maybe.
Oh, I've. Yeah, there's a really interesting thing. It's called Gaia, and it takes the Earth, and it's like our atmosphere becomes like the cell membrane. And they actually it is kind of a religious thing. I don't know how much science it's based on, but
Gaia. I know what you're talking about. Mother Earth.
Yeah, the respiration of the Earth, like that was a fascinating thing. And then the magnetic fields moving around, and these are all things that you can demonstrate, and you can point, and you can look at. It's just like fascinating stuff, and it absolutely does seem like it's the Earth adapting and responding. But we have no, like, we, it's just man has convinced ourselves that we know better than nature. And like you were said earlier, you have to love nature. Like if you just love and appreciate nature, then I think it would be, we'd all be a lot better off accepting what we don't know. And we really don't know what's going on.
No. And the good thing about with what you're saying, connect to nature, I'm just going to say this. The one thing about animals that you would know is that they keep order. They don't, if you've noticed about like our ecosystem, very rarely when human beings are not introduced, they're able to create their own form of a homeostasis within their environment. As a human being, we find that to be the most difficult thing because we consume so much. Now, after taking biology, after taking chemistry, you know, biochem, and just, this is just biology 101, basically. And I hate to sound like this, but I think if the more people understood that that we're acting like this, there would be more change. We are acting more like a virus. You know, we're clinging to a host and just sucking it out, and we're really not producing anything else. You know, there's a lot of waste. There's a lot of everything else going on. And I think if people were to understand that, they could make a change. You know, we don't need a million grocery bags. We don't need all of this toilet paper, all these paper towels, all of these pieces of paper. We don't need to be cutting down the Amazon rainforest. We don't need to be doing half of the shit we need to be doing. I mean, there's just so much that we could be doing if we just identified that one thing, like, hey, you know what? I think this world's a lot bigger than us. And I think we need to start, you know, making some better changes.
Oh, yeah, like grass. Just grass. Because I used to be an orchid man. I used to go around. I used to take care of people's lawns. I spray it with chemicals and shit.
Yeah.
But the amount of money that is spent on maintaining grass and the amount of, you know, and then just the effect of these fertilizers and these pesticides and fungicides and herbicides that have on our environment, simply to have grass is moronic. It is the dumbest thing on earth. Is what we go through and what we do to have a patch of grass. It's just,
yeah, that's a man's pride. That's a homeowner's pride. He needs a thick patch of grass. Fucking idiot.
There's no apparent reason.
Yeah. No, it gets, dude. It's I mean, this can go into so many different avenues. But at the end of the day, I think that's something I would love for a viewer to just kind of self-reflect on. If anyone is, you know, whoever's listening, just understand, like, hey, what are you doing? You know, you want to talk about entrepreneurialism. You want to talk about, you know, being not being ignorant. What are you doing in the day? You know, are you able to go to bed and say, hey, I left this place better than when I got here? That's a good thought to ponder for a lot of people because we do waste a lot of.
Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit of critical thought because, you know, you get on Facebook, you get on social media and you see what's being spread around and it's just like pure shit. Just, you know, that there is no truth to it at all. I hope and pray. I was like, please just give something, just give it a little bit of critical thought. If you don't know, try to find out, but don't just take action based on something that I don't even know. Just think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying. Be a little bit critical of yourself and just, you know, what is the risk? What is the benefit? And if there's no benefit, then why take the risk of spreading misinformation or taking action that's not going to benefit? You know, do you really need to have 12 plastic garbage bags? Or can you, you know, use a reusable bag? Can you do it? You know what? I made. You know, like when you go to the store and they have those plastic baskets that are by the door.
Yes.
I made one out of metal. So instead of carrying around totes and all that, I just bring my own shopping basket.
Dude, that's one step above everybody else. Think about what that does. No, but seriously, we're like, you know, on top of being in the age of information, materialistically, you know, we had the Bronze Age, we had the Gold Age, we had the Iron Age. We're in the Plastic Age.
Yeah.
There's so much plastic in the ocean right now. There's so much plastic in our landfills. There's so much plastic everywhere you look. There is plastic. Just a byproduct of oil. But we don't, you know, what it does when it breaks down, you know, if you leave a water bottle in a car, in a hot car, what does it do? You know, it gives off estrogen and it can give off cancer growing chemicals. There's a lot we're doing that just doesn't make sense. And I think we all have something called a conscience, or what the, you know, a layman would say is innate intelligence. We would have, you know, this voice inside of our head that's telling us, hey, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should, you know, and I'm not even talking on a global scale. Just think of it as yourself, because that's the only way to make some fucking change is, you know, what are you doing today? And right. Then eventually it gets collective.
Yeah. Right on, brother. Well, hey, man, I really love and appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today and to record this podcast. I look forward to the next episode with the doctor about Kratom expert. And let's keep it up, man.
Well, let's absolutely keep it up. Do some QAnon research. You're going to, you know, you'll love it. For yourself, I think you're going to love it. And I think the viewers are going to love it, too, if we start talking about that, because this is something that's been going on that needs to be, you know, talked about. We'll have a lot to talk about. All right. Thanks a lot, Dr. Barney.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, brother. Take care.
One love, bro. One love.
All right. Peace, Ben.